As the Lord may help me this afternoon, I would again direct you prayerfully to the 2nd of Corinthians, chapter 12, and verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. As we spoke a little this morning, you know, Paul, following his conversion, was appointed by God to preach the gospel. As he said, I certify that you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And all true servants of God must have this revealed by God, to give them that divine instruction and teaching in the way that he would have you and me to go. And so, having had a wonderful revelation, Paul was, and yet he was brought to these infirmities, these trials, and brought to be cast down. But you see, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. We wonder sometimes how we can continue with the trial of faith. But if we're to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, though afar off, we should realize that in the world he had a tribulation, and in the world he was despised and rejected of man, and so will you and I be as believers. We shall be very much made by his grace to be humbled before Almighty God. But in his sad state, so with every true believer, we be brought in that tribulatory path to call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify my name. There's so little acknowledgement of Christ in the day and age that we live in. There's many that have not grace in their hearts to walk worthy of him. They want to be somebody and something. They want to be exalted in the flesh, but that will never do. And so, if the Lord in his mercy does touch your heart and mine, it'll be with a conviction of sin. And the devil will do his utmost to bring your heart down and to try you, because he's permitted to do this. And this is the pathway of tribulation, messenger of Satan, to buffet you, lest you should be exalted above measure. We should truly not be glorying in the flesh, but glorying in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is separated unto me. You cannot be in the world and of it, dear friends, if you are a follower of Christ. You'll be stripped of all your fancied meanness to approach the dread I am, because he's a sovereign God, and he's so little thought of in the day. There's all so fleshly, excitable religion will not do the soul of anyone any good, but it is humbled in the dust, as Paul was. Oh, what a change was wrought in him. But what a mercy, if the Lord is determined to save you and me. You see, you beseech the Lord thrice, as he did, that this messenger of Satan, this buffeting, that he had to be buffeted, or to make him sick of self and fond of Jesus. And oh, how we know this. He said, my grace. Jesus himself said to him, my grace is sufficient. It's almighty grace arrests that man, that woman, that child. It's almighty grace save that sinner from death, destruction and despair. What a mercy if you're stripped of everything and you have nothing to bring. But through the mercy of God, you'll be able to find grace in your time of need. And strength is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak, then are we strong. Oh, nothing in you and Eve, you and me. Humble before Almighty God that you might be exalted in due time, casting all your care upon him. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. And you will, how little do we take notice? Well, you cannot take notice of the word unless the Lord brings it to your remembrance and applies it with power. Those things that you have handled, tasted and felt of the word of life. You should know the truth. The truth's burnt into your soul. You're hungering, you're thirsting for it. And to know that his strength is made perfect. He strengthens your weak hands of faith, confirms your feeble knees, says unto you of a fearful heart, fear not, thy God will come with vengeance. How we need him. When this enemy of our souls comes in like a flood, how we need the Lord to come and deliver us. And now we need him to take us by the hand and lead us through the pathway of tribulation, that ultimately we might have that treasure in earthen vessels that the Lord has revealed to. What a revelation did dear old Paul have. And what a mercy that only the Lord could turn him around, as we said this morning, from hailing men and women that at prison, that truly to take him to prison, who believed in Christ. Here he was again on another venture on the Damascus road, and Jesus stopped him with a revelation. It seems to have come to mind today much about revelation. Christ's word revealed, not what we read and store up with a good memory. It's what the Lord gives us in the hour he's promised. Open thou my mouth wide, I will fill it. It is looking to the Lord to speak his word, to seal his word upon our souls. When you come looking to receive a blessing to enrich your soul and mind and be brought to accept as grace is given, to be humble before him that you might be exalted into him and cast your care. You know, if we're true believers, we shall have burdens. We shall be made to feel the burden of our sin. And we shall look for the blood of Christ to be applied, be made nigh by the blood of Christ to powerfully instruct and teach us in honouring him and serving him with reverence and godly fear. And to be repented of our uncleanness, our fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. And we've all come short, have we not, of the glory of God? But what a mercy if we accept our infirmities, if we accept our punishment for our sin, because we need our sins to be blotted out as a thick cloud. We need him to say, come unto me. Bring your hard things to me and I will hear them and I will save you from death, destruction and despair. Solemn thing, so little warning of church leaders in the day and age that we live in, what their sins have done to the Saviour. That is, if they're chosen vessels, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. How can any man choose to follow Christ unless he's had the grace in his heart to repent and believe? And he's sorry for his sins. And he mourns over his sins and after the Lord Jesus and finds only his grace sufficient. So you'll beseech the Lord, if it be possible, pardon my sins, if it be in accordance with thy covenant, sealed with thy blood, that I am a chosen vessel. Because we cannot get away from the scripture. We cannot bend the scripture to suit our own lust of the flesh and pride of life. We must be brought there. Nothing, says Top Lady, in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Why, what does the cross mean to you? It means that Jesus shed his blood there. It's not looking at the cross, it's looking at Christ that died on the cross. Satisfied the just demands of the broken law on the cross. Oh, what a mercy. Preaching the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, what a mercy to know something of the cross and to realize that Jesus shed his blood and he came and he died and gave up the ghost, and it is finished. Prior to that, he said, it is finished. I bought all my sons and daughters with my shed blood. Blood, dear friends, that speaks greater things, dear friends, than those things in the scripture. And that the greatest thing in scripture is Jesus, my friend, that hung on the tree, that opened the channel for me. And so we beseech the Lord, grant me grace. Grant me evidences of grace. Oh, it'll humble you and me from our proud ways. It'll make us to realise that we do need pardon for our sins. Because if sin be pardoned, I secure death and no sin beside. The law gave sin its damning power, but Christ my ransom. Think of the love of Christ. Oh, to feel the effects upon it in your heart and mind. We shall ever seek that closer walk with God. That calm and heavenly frame, that light that shines upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Oh, blessed Jesus, the object of your soul's desire and grace to walk worthy of him. Yes, you may be marked if you walk worthily of him. And you'll seek that grace to serve him with true reverence and godly fear. And so we glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us, rest upon you and me, because we know the warnings of Scripture. He that believeth not is condemned already. But he that taketh up my cross will look for salvation. And he is the one thing needful to poor sinners. And we look to him to desire to rest in his love and his almighty grace. So we have to prove, don't we? Without him we can do nothing. He says, without me he can do nothing. And so we look to the Lord to give us evidences that we are born of God and that our treasure is above. And so the sufficiency of his grace, when almighty grace can break through the gloom of your carnal mind and mine and grant us a true spirit of humility and love. For having loved his own that were in the world, he loves them to the end. And we want to have our beginnings right, because if our beginnings are not right, our end will not be right. But the Lord knows where his people are, and he'll bring back these true converts to Christ, because their names are recorded in the book of life, and though they be the vilest sinner out of hell, they'll live to feel their need and plead the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. Oh, for the Lord then to reveal this to you and to me and feel that the power of Christ, when you're most ready to perish, almighty grace comes and softens your heart by due degrees and makes your spirit and mind meek. There's no room for pride in religion. There's room for humility. There's room for pity. When the Lord softens your heart by due degrees and humbles you before him, you might be exalted in due time, casting the burden of your soul and your concerns for other souls, where as yet you see no evidence of the light to lighten their darkness. And as with one of old, send out thy light and thy truth. He came into the world to lighten the darkness of the world. Oh, but the Jews would not receive him. But blessed be the Lord, in due time, there were those, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be the sons and daughters of God by blessed adoption. See, he came amongst his own received him, but as many as received him. And only he can open your heart and mind to receive him. Only he can make you willing in the day of his power to trust him for his faithfulness. It's a blessed mercy. He's a sovereign God. He chooses whom he will. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. This is not free will. This is free and sovereign grace, friends. It's not of him that willeth or runneth. It's God alone that showeth mercy. Oh, it's so clear in the scriptures to the Lord's people. Chosen of God before the worlds were made, that they might live to show forth his praise and bless him abundantly. That he's found you in this waste, howling wilderness of a world where people exhort one another and seeking great things, but we are told, seek them not, but seek the Lord while he can be found amongst us, and seek to glorify his most holy name. Lord, give me faith then. One of those blessed attributes of a believer, faith, hope, and love. And they're all bound up in grace, unmerited mercy and favour of the Lord your God, that has chosen you in the furnace of affliction. I will be with thee, Israel, passing through the waters, through the rivers, and through the flames. They shall not hurt thee. Because I am the Lord, I change not. Like those three Hebrew children in the fire, they, you know, were in the fire from that ungodly king, punishment, because they would not fall down to his will. But see, the man, the blind king, had to see that there was a fourth person in the fire, and it was Jesus, and they came through the fires, not so much, dear friends, as the smell of burning upon them. This is the almighty power of God, not man's power. This is the will of God. He saw them ruined in the fire, let love them notwithstanding all. He saw them loved. So they were in this pathway that that Paul had to pass through, whereby this messenger of Satan buffeted him. And so there they were, those three Hebrew children in the fire, and brought favourably through. They were in the strength and protection of the Lord himself. What a sovereign protector, preserver we have in the precious word of God as it's sealed upon your soul, and you bear that witness you've been with Jesus. And so my grace, oh, Jesus' voice to the poor sinner, my grace is sufficient. We read in the second chapter today, our sufficiency is of God, not of man. How dependent are poor believers? Without him, they can receive nothing. But when the appointed time comes, he calls them by his grace, enables them to bear witness they've been with Jesus. and they're able to speak of those things that they have truly fed upon from the Word of God. He takes His Word and seals it, and they know the truth, and they see grace to walk worthily of the truth, whereof they have been anointed by the Spirit. And that anointing of the Spirit, you know, will be your strength and your help in the day of infirmity, as the trials, the trial of your faith. And Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as ye partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory may be revealed, you may be exalted, and you will be joyful in your soul, that when he is revealed to you, oh, how, you know, your cup run over with joy and peace in believing that what his grace has done in visiting your soul, the power of Christ. None can create this power, no. It's almighty grace that changes your heart, renews your will, returns your feet and mind to Zion's hill. We bless God because there is this in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And you go in the strength of that meat for many days. And bless the Lord, you say, O my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine. And this grace is through the favours of God, through the tokens of his love. Grace exalts your soul to lift up your eyes unto heaven, from whence cometh your help. And oh, how humbling this is, as you wonder sometimes, why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve or come? And he says, look unto me. Oh, that the Lord would then enlighten your soul and mine to seek that closer walk with God. It's a blessed place to be in. He heals your malady. He heals us of all our sicknesses and makes us young again, not necessarily in body, but in your soul. He comforts your troubled heart and says, be still and know that I am God. And he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Jesus only then is the way to heaven. And he will certainly favour you and me. While the unbelievers are condemned already, but there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Blessed be his name. The immutable favour of his love upon your soul. You never change. Yes, there's change and decay all around, I see, but all who thou changest not abide with me, because we know that our days are far spent. It's the gospel day. But oh, we do need much grace to truly press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. He's chosen in him. You can't get away from election, from God's electing love. It's all through the scriptures. He has chosen whom he will and discards who he will discard. Heaven, hell is never full. Heaven is a prepared place for poor sinners to reach those mansions in the sky. And so you'll beseech the Lord, do bring my soul out of prison, that though it may be thrice, it may be more than thrice, it may be many times through life's journey, you'll be calling upon the name of the Lord to make you wise unto salvation through faith in him. other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. You know, our wonderful hymn writers were so inspired by the Spirit of God to put down their experiences. And that's why we stick fast to our hymn book. It is not man's being a poet. It is what the Lord has taught them to record in the wonders he has done in their souls. They're able to leave it on record. And oh, how we bless God for it. It isn't, I would say, not in spiritually inspired is the hymn book, but it's the experiences that they've been able to pen have been inspired by the teaching of the Spirit and teaching of the number of their days that they might apply their hearts unto wisdom. And he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. So this privilege of being one of these souls that has been born of God and their treasure is above, my grace. Oh, to be able to feel this working of grace in our souls, called by his grace, called by the Lord to come boldly unto the throne of grace that you might obtain help and find grace to help in your time of need. And the needy are not always forgotten. You may feel you've had more than three calls upon the Lord for deliverance, but you know we should go on calling. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify my name. Oh, have we evidences of that? Glorifying his name for what he has done for our souls, set before an open door, removed the stones of stumbling and rocks of offence, and made a way for us where there seemed to be no way, because his grace, his unmerited mercy and favour and love for your soul has taught you to number your days and apply your hearts and mind unto wisdom. And he says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for beside me there is no saviour. Oh, away with our idols. They're no profit to you and me, dear friends. What profit will a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will it profit you? But this is the profit of your soul. What grace has revealed his word to you that has shown you now the way and shown you the way into the truth and taught you the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, this is the refuge of guilty sinners. The refuge of sinners the gospel makes known. It is found in the merits of Jesus alone. No other hope for heaven but through the merits of Jesus. We cannot turn from anywhere else. We cannot look and listen, dear friends, to those that say you've only got to come and believe. How can you come except you're drawn by the cords of a man, by the bands of his love? Jesus himself draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, and he make them willing in the day of his power to follow him. Narrow track, it's not a broad way that leads to destruction. It's striving to enter in the straight gate, and few there be that find it. But what a mercy if you and I have been touched in your heart by this work of grace, and through mercy you have been able to glory in your infirmities. It was the means of bringing your heart down, bringing your heart to pray, making you willing to call upon his name where you've denied and defied him so many days, months, or even years in your life. There's no other refuge. God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in your trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Oh, his precious Bible truths. May we ever ask for the old paths and stand in the old ways to prove my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A personal faith, hope and love, and Jesus is the author of it. If he's not the author of it, then you're misguided in your pathway. But what a mercy to put your trust in the living God. God, put your trust in him at all times, ye people, and pour out your heart's desires before him, that you might follow him in the footsteps of the flock, as his grace is sufficient for thee. Well, may the Lord in his mercy bless our few remarks this day, and pardon all amiss for his name's sake. Amen. Let us close with hymn 326. The tune is Mainzer 364. Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. I glory in infirmity, that Christ's own power may rest on me. When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield, and Christ my song. Thank you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.